Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. The headlines: the Taoiseach has played down the possibility of a Big Bang easing of restrictions like the UK's Freedom Day. The Taoiseach has also claimed that 250,000 children could be vaccinated by the time the school year starts again next month. The General Manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says the hospital is still under pressure from what he called a perfect storm of increased emergency department numbers as well as COVID-19 admissions. The Muncrana pop-up COVID-19 testing centre will remain open for at least another week, according to the HSE, as the instance rate of COVID-19 continues to be monitored. And the head of the HSE says Ireland has reached the final phase of vaccinating its adult population. We'll have those stories in full as more, as well as the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin, and Chris Ashmore will have this week's farming news as well, all coming up within the next half hour. Back to our main story now. The Taoiseach has played down the possibility of a Big Bang easing of restrictions like the UK's Freedom Day. Instead, Micheál Martin says there will be a gradual easing of restrictions that may be sped up with the help of the vaccination programme. Sean Defoe's special report begins with yesterday's comments from the Chief Medical Officer, Tony Houlihan.
We think that we might, in the coming weeks, be in a situation where we're able to reach the kinds of requirements that we think need to be reached to enable us to move away from some of the economic and social restrictions.
Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony Houlihan giving a more optimistic take on where Ireland is with the virus at yesterday's briefing. He said they're now considering what restrictions can ease in August and what might have to stay a little while longer. Professor of Immunology at Maynooth University Paul Moyna says there is a sense of change.
I think we're getting very close to the end of the pandemic phase and we'll probably move more into an endemic phase where the virus will be circulating in the background, but thankfully most of us will be protected.
But while it may be politically tempting, Taoiseach Micheál Martin's ruled out following the UK with a Freedom Day style opening up.
Well, you see, I think they all just talk about Freedom Day. To me, if you look at the last pandemic 100 years ago, it didn't end one day. It will peter out.
It'll be towards the middle or end of August when the current set of restrictions are reviewed again.
The Taoiseach has also claimed that 250,000 children could be vaccinated by the start of the school year. Micheál Martin has said work is underway to open the vaccine portal for 12 to 15-year-olds. They'll be offered mRNA vaccines, either the Pfizer or Moderna ones. Taoiseach Micheál Martin estimated 250,000 children could be offered the vaccine by the end of next month.
HSE will be operationalising that very quickly. They'll have to do some technology changes in terms of facilitating informed consent from parents online. And that will occur. And as you know, there's two mRNA vaccines that have been approved for that age cohort. And that could see up to 250,000 people between 12 and 15 vaccinated before the new school term starts.
The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says the hospital is still under pressure from what he called the perfect storm of increased emergency department numbers, COVID-19, and the impact of the cyber attack. Sean Murphy was speaking after SAILTA issued another notice warning of very long wait times, particularly for those awaiting admission from the emergency department to a hospital bed. He told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that 15 patients in LUH have COVID-19 and some of those may be transferred to Galway this afternoon.
We have a number of COVID patients in ICU and we've had to, then last weekend, this week again, and we will be doing it again today to help the pressure on our ICU. We will be transferring some patients to Galway, and again, and very grateful to our colleagues within SAILTA to help us with the volume of patients. So if we see a reduction
in the official figures, the ICU figures, it's not necessarily a discharge. It actually could be accounted for with a transfer.
It absolutely could.
Do you have any insight, either with these cases or previous, as it relates to, you know, whether people are vaccinated or what age cohort are making up your cases?
I've always spoken with you about my concern about using figures, particularly when they haven't been analysed in detail. I would not have confidence in what we've got in terms of the age profile at the moment. That's still being looked at and worked on. So all I can say to you is some snapshots I've looked at have shown a reasonably wide distribution of ages from the early 30s through to the 70, patients in their 70s.
The Muncrana pop-up COVID-19 testing centre will remain open for at least another week, According to the HSE, as the incidence rate of COVID-19 in the initial one area continues to be monitored, the pop-up testing centre will remain open until at least the 8th of August. The centre first opened last month, and this is now the fourth time its opening period has been extended. Judith McGlynn is the test centre coordinator for all of Donegal's COVID-19 testing centres, and she says there are a number of reasons why the opening of the pop-up centre has been extended once again.
It's to do with the high incidence rate, but it's also to do with the test centre has been so well utilised. There's such a high number of people attending every day for testing, so they want to continue that and continue to make it convenient for people in the area. So up until the 8th of August, you know, whoever, any people who feel that they have any concerns about COVID-19, would encourage them to attend the pop-up in Buncrana. The opening times are 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and there's different ways that people can get a test. They can walk into the centre with no appointment. They can also self-refer, which is the way that we're encouraging people to do. If you go on hse.ie and go to COVID testing, and that takes you to a link to be able to book your own appointment. Or if you have any symptoms or concerns, people can talk to their GP and their GP can refer them to the Buncrana Centre. So there's different ways for people to access the service.
The head of the HSE says Ireland has reached the final phase of vaccinating the adult population. 86% of adults have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, while 71% are now fully vaccinated. Paul Reid says the Delta variant is still a concern, but virus cases are not rising as fast as was feared. And he says the vaccine rollout is making strong progress.
The vaccination programme in Ireland is having a very significant and massive benefits beyond our expectations. And we are setting a very high bar for many other countries in terms of our uptake. We are on the final furlong, as I described, in the race to get the adult population vaccinated. And we'll shortly commence the process for the 12 to 15-year-olds based on the required consents.
1,471 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in the north in the last 24 hours. There have also been two additional COVID-related deaths reported there. 234 patients are being treated for the disease in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 31 of those in ICU. It's been confirmed that workers will not need a COVID-19 vaccine before going back to offices. The Taoiseach has confirmed that proof of vaccination will not be necessary, with the government currently aiming for a return to offices in September. People have been advised to work from home where possible since the onset of the pandemic. ISME CEO Neil McDonnell says most businesses have plans in place to welcome employees back to their workplace safely.
Employers have known that this date was eventually going to come. There's no, we certainly wouldn't see any need to postpone it or to think that it's too early. This period of the next month, the month of August, at least allows employers to decide who they do actually need back to return to the workplace and those workers who can continue to work from home.
160,000 passengers arrived in Ireland from overseas in June, an increase of 87% on May. CSO figures show that just under 200,000 passengers left the country on overseas trips last month. That's up 105% on the previous month's figures. Continental routes contributed most to passenger traffic in June, while just 11,000 passengers arrived from transatlantic routes, as 7,700 departed from Ireland there. Apart from Britain, the most important routing countries for overseas travel in Ireland were Spain, Poland and the Netherlands. A former priest who is nicknamed the Singing Priest has been sent forward for trial on historic child abuse charges. Tony Walsh, formerly of North Circular Road in Dublin, is accused of sexually abusing a boy in the 1980s. Court's correspondent Frank Greeney reports.
In the late 1970s, Tony Walsh used to perform as an Elvis impersonator with an all-priest show, which earned him the nickname The Singing Priest. The 67-year-old is facing two counts of indecent assault. The complaint was made 2 years ago, but the alleged assaults are said to have taken place in Dublin between January 1983 and December 1985. Mr. Walsh was served with a book of evidence in court today. He has yet to indicate how he'll plead, but the DPP has directed that he be tried on indictment, so he was sent forward for trial today. His next hearing will be before a higher court in October. Frank Graney at Dublin District Court.
A Donegal journalist and commentator says he believes there needs to be a renewed focus on encouraging people who were abused by priests and others in church settings to come forward. John McAteer was speaking after former Donegal priest Con Cunningham was jailed yesterday for abusing two sisters in Donegal when they were minors in the early to mid-1970s. Margaret and Paula Martin waived their anonymity and spoke extensively to John McAteer, as of others who were abused. On today's 9 till noon show, he told Greg Hughes he believes there are many more stories which are yet to be officially recorded.
This needs to be revisited again and again and again, because there's always information. What we should be looking for and getting here is a cold case review of all allegations made. We have no way of knowing how many of those allegations were actually recorded. And this, I think, is what we might be getting at more than anything else. Mm. There may well have been hundreds, thousands of cases that were not recorded. One of the people that I covered a story for was John O'Donnell. He lived in Churchill for a number of years. He was being abused there, not clerically, but in a church. John has a long story to tell. We told it for him. The Guardian newspaper picked up on it, and various other organs. Nothing's been recorded there because John went to his local Garda station and he was asked to leave, and he was told that he'd be charged if he didn't get out of the way. Now, that story is not told. We told it in the pages of a newspaper, but there's no records of that on diocesan files. I can swear to that, because John has told me that he tried hard to make a complaint. He was about 14 or 15 years old at the time. He was just told he was just a nuisance and to stop annoying people. How much of that went on? People were being deterred. I mean, we have to put ourselves back into that era. We have to ask to what extent have we moved on insofar as encouraging those abused to come forward.
A new high street voucher scheme has been announced today in Northern Ireland, where every adult over the age of 18 in the north will be eligible to apply for a £100 voucher intended to be spent in local businesses across Northern Ireland. Up to 1.4 million people in the north could avail of the vouchers, which will be distributed via prepaid cards, and they're intended to help high street retailers in the north that have been hit hardest by the COVID-19 pandemic. The cards will be prepared and distributed by Australian financial company EML, who say the total cost of the stimulus package included in the prepaid cards is expected to contribute $273 million to Northern Ireland's economy, which is a figure which is roughly around £144 million. It's 12 minutes past five. We'll take a quick ad break now, and Sport with Kenny is coming up next.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's just turning a quarter past five. That means it's time for Sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Daniel. Good evening. Starting with Olympics news, and Ireland's 10th ever Olympic gold medal has been celebrated today. Cork duo Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy were first in the lightweight doubles sculls final, ahead of Germany and Italy, who were third. It follows Paul and his brother Gary securing silver in the boat in Rio. Meanwhile, Shane Ryan's the latest Irish swimmer to set a new national record in Tokyo. He was fourth in his heat of the men's 100 metres butterfly in a time of 52.52 seconds. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough to progress to the semi-finals. And Annalise Murphy has given herself a fighting chance of making the medal race of the laser radial sailing. The Rio silver medalist is up to 14th following a first and second finish in this morning's races. She needs to crack the top 10 with her remaining two races. And Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy have ground to make up after the first round of the golf at the Olympics. McIlroy signed for a 2-under par round of 69, while Lowry, he'll start from 1-under going into day 2. Austria's Sepp Straka has a one-shot lead on 8-under par. Meanwhile, the ISPS Handa World Invitational and the European Tour is taking place in County Antrim this week at the Gelgorm Castle and Mazarine golf courses. In the men's event, Matthias Schmidt currently leads the way. He's on a 5-under par through 16 holes. The best of the Irish is Tom McKibben. He finished with a 3-under par round of 67. And in the ladies' event, Emma Talley of the US leads the way on 6-under par through 17. The best of the Irish is Olivia Mahaffey. She's on level par through 9 holes. On to Gaelic Games, and the semi-final arrangements of the Ulster Minor Football Championship have been confirmed. Healy Park and Omagh will host both semi-finals on the weekend of August the 6th. Donegal and Armagh, they'll throw one at 7:30 on Friday the 6th of August, while the other semi-final between Fermanagh and Tyrone, that'll take place on Saturday the 7th of August at 6 o'clock. Elsewhere in Gaelic Games, the Taoiseach has hinted at bigger attendances for this year's All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. Currently, Croke Park's attendance is capped at 18,000. Speaking today, Micheál Martin said he would like to see that number increased for the latter stages of the hurling and football championships. Well, Tyrone, they'll compete in their first Ulster Senior Football Championship final since 2017 this Saturday evening when they face Monaghan at Croke Park. The Red Hands overcame Donegal in their semi-final by 6 points, and they'll look to reclaim the Anglo-Celtic Cup, which hasn't resided in the county since their final win 4 years ago. Well, three-time All-Ireland winner with Tyrone, Conor Gormley, he expects Croke Park will be an influence on Saturday's game.
Tyrone have beat them, you know, in the Ireland semi-final, and I think it's quarter-final, so I think Monaghan will be looking to turn that round, that we owe Tyrone one possibly in Croke Park. You know, they've been hugely disappointed at how them results went for them, so it'll be massive for them to beat Tyrone in Croke Park, and again then the winners then play in the semi-final in Croke Park, so it'll be massive to get a run out for both teams. But from a Tyrone point of view, again, I think they love Tyrone, love playing in Croke Park. I loved all our players that stage, loved going to Croke Park, no matter when it was, you know, it was a great place to be playing, and that's where you want to play, and no better place to do it now, and it was in Croke Park, and it brings back memories from 05, I think it's 05, we played Armagh in a replay, a drawn game in a replay in Croke Park, and also the final just brings back memories of that times, you know. And
that was Conor Gormley there. Well, in soccer, 8,000 fans, they'll be at the Aviva Stadium tonight for Bohemians Conference League qualifier second leg. Now, Bohemians take a 1-0 first leg lead into this evening's game with Luxembourg's Dudelange. Kickoff at the Lansdowne Road is very shortly at 7:45. And there's a 5:30 start in Tallinn where Dundalk and Latvia, they resume 2-2 from the first leg. At 6 o'clock, Laren, they take a 2-1 lead away to Danish side AGF Aarhus. And at 7 o'clock, Linfield travel to Bosnia, where they hold a 4-0 advantage over Boric Banda. Moving on to rugby, and South Africa's director of rugby, Rassi Erasmus, has recorded an hour-long video complaining about the refereeing in the first test against the British and Irish Lions. He was unhappy with some of the match officials in the Springboks 17-22 defeat. Ahead of Saturday's second test, Erasmus says he wants better communications about decisions.
Not saying that the referee was a cheat at all, saying that we just wanted clarity on a Sunday night, and which we now got on a Tuesday. We're not very, or I personally, are not very convinced with the clarity that we got from Nick Berry in this match.
Moving on to horse racing, and there's an 8 race card day today at the Galway Racecourse for the fourth day of the Galway races. The Galway Hurdle is the feature race of the day that goes off at 6:15. And just finally before we go this evening, there's the score programme on this evening. Dermot Doherty will be joined by Linda McGuinness of the Letterkenny Blaze Basketball Club. They have 4 players on international duty. There's also local soccer with Nigel Ferry. There's also a preview of the Ulster final between Tyrone and Monaghan, and a look ahead to the Ladies All-Ireland quarter-final between Donegal and Dublin. That's the score programme after the 7 o'clock news. That's all your sports this evening. It's back to Daniel.
Thanks for that, Kenny. And now it's over to Chris Ashmore for this week's Farming News.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, this evening, my guest is Stephen Robb, Newton Cunningham-based farmer, who is also tillage and sustainables reporter with the Irish Farmers Journal. Good to talk to you once again. We're going to go through a number of things. We'll start off, Stephen, the winter barley harvest now largely wrapped up. Growers reporting good yields and quality.
It's been a hell of a start to the harvest, so it has, with last week's really good weather and whatnot. I suppose everyone kind of initially thought that the winter barley harvest was going to be a late one this year, and it kind of turned out to be anything but. Whenever we had the real high temperatures of last week, moisture's just dropped like a stone in terms of grain moistures around the country, and guys were harvesting pretty much everywhere by last weekend, 2 weekends ago. Up here, I suppose, yeah, we were a little bit later, but not that much, and a lot of guys are finished up in terms of winter barley now. There's, of course, still some winter barley crops to be harvested, and that's the case for everywhere around the country, but by and large, you know, 95% or so is done and dusted now. And look, I suppose that the way to describe it is that the parts of the crops that were there and the parts of the fields that were there did exceptionally well. I suppose the problem was that there were a few blank patches and fields from just as a result of a really wet for winter and wet spring. So some of the areas and fields had kind of been a little bit thin. And that brought averages down, but look, chatting to guys around the country over the past week or so, you know, guys are easily averaging 3.5, 4 tonnes per acre. Had a lot of good moistures, you know, moistures off anywhere between 12.5% to 16%. And specific weights as high as 70 in some cases. So, look, I don't think there's anyone complaining about the performance of winter barley so far. And same with straw as well. It's been a good year so far in terms of straw yields. Straw has definitely been a little bit green when harvesting this year, but sure enough, last week's high temperatures meant that all you had to do was leave it for a day or two, and it was good to go.
And what sort of prices are we talking about for straw bales?
Yeah, so that's the question on everyone's mind at the moment. There has been a lot of straw movement, so there has not too many have set prices solidly yet, you could say. But certainly in a grower you chat to, it's really in the region of between 20 and 25 euros per 4x4 bale. Just depends on what part of the country you're in. You know, the real excess areas as such, you really would be looking at kind of 20 delivered, whereas the kind of midlands further north, more marginal areas, you're looking at 20 from the field.
And given that we're a border county, what impact do northern prices have on things? Are they much the same?
They actually are much the same, funny enough. Chatting to growers, you know, it's in the around 25 sterling from the field. But sure, looks, I suppose, Northern Ireland being that importer of straw, so they would. Look, the elephant in the room here is the straw chopping scheme. Everyone had kind of fear that there is going to be a mass shortage of straw this year because a lot of straw is going to be chopped. Look, I think we're not really going to see that, so we're not, because of the fact that winter barley yields were so good this year, and the fact that there's very little winter barley straw going to be chopped. There's going to be a lot of old straw chopped, and there's going to be a lot of spring barley straw chopped. So look, there's no need for panic as such, and look, I think everyone will come to a fair price at the end of the day.
Now, what's the rest of the summer looking like for the tillage farmer here in Donegal as things stand?
Yeah, I suppose look, we ran a piece this week just in terms of fertiliser prices. Look, you could argue that everything is kind of rallying at the moment. All commodities, and that includes grain price. Like, for example, you know, any grower would be silly to accept anything less than 180 per tonne for green barley this year, for example. You know, that's where the market is at the moment. And it's the same around the world. Grain prices are good. But as our oil prices, as our gas prices, everything is up. And unfortunately, that's trickling through to farm inputs, particularly fertiliser. So my colleague Sean Walsh this week did a ring around of a number of local, national and suppose international sources for fertiliser. And yeah, look, we're seeing quite a big increase in fertiliser prices yet again. And it looks like that's going to be sustained later into the season. Unfortunately, it's typically, I suppose, in the autumn, you would often find a lot of farmers trying to avail of lower prices of fertiliser for the season ahead, and that doesn't really look like that's going to be the case this year. And really, you could argue, look, it's as a result of a perfect storm. You know, good commodity prices, high fuel prices, COVID-19 causing some supply and production issues. You know, coupled with low fertiliser stocks to begin with, drought in some of the key kind of mining areas around the world, you know, it's just all come together now. Unfortunately, it seems it's going to hit a lot of growers up here who are trying to source some of next year's fertiliser good and early.
I'm speaking with Stephen Robb, a tillage and sustainables reporter with the Irish Farmers Journal, who farms himself in Newton Cynon. Stephen, let's just move to the potato sector. And when we have a heat wave, as we did, there's always a drop-off in consumption. So I take it we'll see an increase, given that we've got the wetter weather back now.
Yeah, I suppose it's entirely likely. Wetter weather and lower temperatures is generally good for potato consumption. But look, I think potato consumption this year in general has been quite good, and I think it's been a fairly sustained market, which is always to be welcomed in the potato sector. Obviously, whenever temperatures began to increase, consumption dropped off, which was to be expected. But by and large, it hasn't been a bad season just yet. suppose, in terms of potato crops in general, look, it has been a slow start. It's been a difficult start for crops this year. But, look, they have pulled out of it. We actually saw some irrigation going on around the county last week for some of the salad crops growing on up here. But as for the Wear, you know, there wasn't that much irrigation going on. That's kind of the same around the country. It's more the salads as such, which were needing the water last week. So, look, they're certainly thankful for a drop this week, but please God, the rain knows when to stop now.
And just as an aside, you know, potatoes weren't the only thing that saw the weather affecting them. I see also that the amount of electricity being produced by wind turbines throughout the country, obviously with the finer weather, a huge drop there. Now, let's just stay with potatoes, Stephen. And further afield, firms in Canada, the United States and Sweden have launched a number of new potato-based foods, ranging from a potato-based beer, protein and milk alternatives. So who knows, we may see them here.
Yeah, certainly. Potato-based beer doesn't sound too appealing, but look, whatever floats your boat. There's no shortage of innovation in the potato sector anyway.
And you know what? I suppose it doesn't come as a surprise because with soya, oats, we've so many different alternatives for milk already, and it'll be no surprise, as I say, to see potato coming into the market. And I suppose a lot will depend on people's perception and also what the taste is like.
Yeah, of course. Look, I suppose the hummus bud, it's so popular for a reason. It has loads of unique properties which makes it pretty attractive as a food ingredient, and essentially that's what these companies are trying to do. They're trying to process potatoes and make them into a food ingredient, particularly in the protein end of things. It has been done elsewhere, hasn't been done on this side of Europe anyway before, so it's quite exciting. You know, it's potatoes high in vitamins, obviously no gluten, no lactose, so it's quite, it's quite an attractive feed ingredient as such. So no, it's quite a positive story, really. So it is. I do know that there's some innovative things coming down the line in terms of Irish companies trying to add value onto the own potato crop as well. So watch this space.
And that was Stephen Robb, the tillage and sustainables reporter with the Irish Farmers Journal. And finally, Teagasc has released details of an Irish study of male farmers' diets and weight management that shows that 62% of farmers in the study were overweight or obese. The study on farmers' diets was undertaken following national mortality studies that shows that farmers experience 5 times higher cardiovascular, 3 times higher cancer and 7 times higher farm injury mortality in the working age range than white-collar workers. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thanks for that, Chris. And finally, the weather. There'll be a few bright or sunny spells down today, but staying mostly cloudy in general with isolated showers. It'll be mostly dry to start tonight, but showers will develop in western areas and will gradually move eastwards later, though with temperatures tonight of 10 to 13 degrees. The headlines once again this evening. The Taoiseach has played down the possibility of a big bang easing of restrictions, like the UK's Freedom Day. The Taoiseach has also claimed that 250,000 children could be vaccinated by the time the school year starts again. Micheál Martin says work is underway to open the vaccine portal to 12 to 15-year-olds. They'll be offered mRNA vaccines, either Pfizer or Moderna. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says the hospital is still under pressure from what he called the perfect storm of increased emergency department numbers, COVID-19 and the impact of the cyber attack. The Buncrana pop-up COVID-19 testing centre will remain open for at least another week, according to the HSE, as the incidence rate of COVID-19 in the Inishowen area continues to be monitored. And the head of the HSE says Ireland has reached the final phase of vaccinating its adult population. 86% of adults have now received at least one dose, while 71% are now fully protected. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll have headlines for you again at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 29th of July. The death has taken place of Catherine Gallagher, 3 Tara Court, Letterkenny. Her remains will repose at her home from 8 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow to the Gospel Hall, Church Lane, Letterkenny, to repose overnight. House private pleas at the request of the deceased. Funeral service on Saturday at 2, followed by burial in the family plot in the Church of Ireland graveyard, Rosnakill, Kerrykeel. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. All inquiries to Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has occurred of Pat Byrne, 28 Lochmorris Road, Ahiarn, and formerly of Cronlahy, Killigordon. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Saturday morning at 11 in St Patrick's Church, Ahiarn. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Mass can be viewed via the Ahiarn Parish webcam. The death has taken place of Sandra Sweeney, the Mall, Rimelton. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Rimelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Rosary tonight and tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass and Rosary can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Rimelton. The death has taken place of Sheila Harkin, née Duffy, Tully Arb, Carndonagh, and formerly of Drumaweir, Greencastle. Sheila's remains are reposing at her home. Her funeral mass will take place tomorrow at 2 in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery, Moville. Funeral mass can be viewed live on carndonaghparish.com. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of Patrick Cheney, Gorchin North, Ballandrate, Lifford. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at clonleyparish.com. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted in the church. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Irish Cancer Society at cancer.ie or care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Carmel O'Kane, formerly of Ard Colgan, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her brother Colum and Marlene's residence, Moss Road, Carndonagh. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.
Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online. Your voice, your station.